Today we are in the fifth word of Christ on the cross, and this is the shortest of them all, but its impact is vast. I'm reading from John 19, beginning in verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "Dipsaho," which translated means, "I thirst." Of all the seven words, this one speaks more of the humanity of Jesus Christ than any of the others. Crucifixion was the cruelest form of torture, and one of the certainties was that the victim of crucifixion would at some point become dehydrated, and that would lead to a pounding headache, dizziness, low blood pressure, a fever, probably over 103 degrees, a rapid heartbeat, and an insatiable thirst. If you were here last week, you will remember that one of the amazing prophecies from Psalm 22 is, "My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth." The tongue actually swells during intense dehydration. It can actually feel like it's burning. In some ways, there is no greater torment than insatiable thirst. You know, when someone comes to visit your home, one of the first things you do is offer them a beverage. When you go to a restaurant, the first thing the waiter does is to offer you a beverage. Doctors recommend that we drink at least 8 glasses of water a day, and some doctors even say we should be drinking 3 to 4 cups of water every hour. There is no wonder that the human part of Jesus cried out, "Dipsaho, dipsaho." John 19, 29, a jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. The evil that men do to one another is perhaps no more evident than it is at that moment. Yet Jesus Christ gave an overall proclamation at the beginning of all this: "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." I have read and I have heard this cry, "I thirst," countless times, and it disturbs me every time I hear it. But the most vivid memory I have of hearing this was when I was a child in Sunday school. I was horrified, and my childish reaction was I wanted to sweep back in time and give Jesus a drink of water. How could they? How could they do that? And then my Sunday school teacher said something that absolutely took my breath away. She said, "We are the ones who did that to him." What? I still have not grasped the depth of that statement. Have you? To repeat myself, of all the seven last words, this one speaks of his humanity more than any other, but it also speaks of his divinity. Have you thought about that? Again, the drama as John wrote it, it says, "Knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'Dipsaho,' 'I am thirsty.'" What scripture was John talking about? Well, you know, he was talking about Psalm 22, which you talked about last week. And Here it is once again, verse 14 and 15, just in case. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is all dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. That was a remarkable fulfillment of a prophecy 1,000 years before it happened. But that is not the only time that this prophecy is found in the Old Testament. This is Psalm 69, beginning in verse 20. Scorn has broken my heart and left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, I looked for comforters, but there was none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Did you know that was there? And here's another one, an amazing prophecy from Amos chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. We also talked about that last week, didn't we? I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Jesus Christ intimately knew every word of the Old Testament, and when he said, I thirst, he was revealing even more than his human frailty. He was also revealing his divinity. He would have remembered Psalm 107, verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Among his very first teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When Jesus said, I'm thirsty, he was probably throwing a huge question to you and to me. Are you thirsty for righteousness? He had much more to say about this. For instance, in John 4, beginning in verse 13, Jesus said to the woman at the well, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And just three chapters later in John, he said the same thing in chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, he said, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Oh, I love that verse. Remind me, I'm going to have to preach a sermon on that someday. The only one who can quench your thirst for righteousness is the one who cried, Dipsah, I thirst. There's more. There's much more that we could say about this word thirst in the Bible. But I want now to turn our focus instead to the Lord's Supper that we are about to observe. It is not a stretch to say that those who hunger and thirst for God are invited to this banquet, to eat and to drink and to be filled. And Jesus made that possible. Just before his betrayal and the crucifixion in Matthew 25, it tells us that he said this, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, come, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in.'" You know, you do not have to be a Christian to do all of those things. All of those things are really a humanitarian gesture of caring. But Jesus Christ elevated the level of that care to something more marvelous because he gave something awesome to eat and drink. He gave himself. He gave himself. And he took you into his family. He made you his son. He made you his daughter. You are invited in. You are no longer a stranger. You are blessed by your Father. You are the heir to the kingdom that was prepared for you. There are three passages in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, that underscore this marvelous truth. Here's the first one. Listen to Revelation 7, verse 16. And I'm changing the pronouns as I read this to make it more clear. "Never again will you hunger. Never again will you thirst. The sun will not beat upon you, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be your shepherd. He will lead you to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes." Do you thirst? Do you thirst for those springs of living water, brothers and sisters? Then come. Now listen to Revelation 21, verse 6. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Brothers and sisters, are you thirsty for the spring of the water of life? Then come. And finally, listen to Revelation 22, verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is thirsty for you. come and refresh him with your life. Like the woman at the well, I was thirsting for things that would not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never will run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make me whole." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, oh, we thank you for thirsting for our souls and yet giving us living water. May we worship you in full, in spirit and in truth. I pray in your powerful name. Amen.